There is a tavern in the town.
In the town.
And there my true love sits him down.
Sits him down.
And drinks his wine as merry as can be. And never, never thinks of me.
Do you have a favorite local tavern in your town? Maybe right in your neighborhood? Do you frequent a neighborhood bar, or has that neighborhood bar shut down? We are going to talk about the decline of the neighborhood bar this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, November 17th. More than 10,000 neighborhood bars have closed in the United States in the last 10 years. We will talk about why this is and wonder if you still frequent a neighborhood bar or if you used to. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Jim Drager, an architectural historian and deputy state historic preservation officer with the Wisconsin Historical Society. He is the co-author of Bottoms Up, a toast to Wisconsin's historic bars and breweries. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being here.
Sure. Well,
we talked to you about Bottoms Up, and we thought of you when we saw this recent news story about the decline of the neighborhood bar. More than 10,000 neighborhood bars in the last 10 years have shut down. Let's start, though, with how do we define a neighborhood bar? What is a neighborhood bar?
Well, a neighborhood bar is a bar in a neighborhood.
That makes sense. I mean, does it have to be just a block away from me?
Well, you know, there was a time when that was probably pretty true. But, you know, I think what really defines it today is it's a bar that draws from a pretty small locale where it's mostly people who live in the neighborhood surrounding it.
Yeah. And so are we seeing a decline in neighborhood bars here in Wisconsin as we are in the United States?
Sure. Yeah. Since the 1970s, there are about 30% as many bars as there were then. And many of the bars that leave are bars that are neighborhood bars.
Yeah. So what factors are causing these bars to close?
A lot of them.
Yeah.
I think the decline of the neighborhood tavern really has been going on for a very long time. It began with the advent of the automobile.
Well, that was a while back.
Sure. Yeah. You know, in the 19th century, people were pedestrian. We have this romantic notion that people in the 19th century all rode on horses. But the reality was, if you didn't live on a farm, you most likely didn't have a horse. The horses were only for the rich people in the city. And you were on foot. So the neighborhood taverns tended to be very close to where we worked and where we lived. And once automobiles come in, especially by the 1930s, when the average working person could afford a car, it changes the whole economic structure of taverns, and people are able to get in a car and drive somewhere to go to a tavern.
Yeah, so we might want to go somewhere a little, you know, somewhere else. But what about in more recent days?
Well, I think in more recent times, there are a number of different factors at work. One of them is the social phenomenon of cocooning. You know, people sit at home. You used to go out to the tavern because that's where entertainment was, and now entertainment streams through your television and through your computer monitor, and so and you can also socialize with people sitting at home. So it's changed the dynamic of that social structure that used to bring people to.
Because we used to go to the bar for socialization.
Sure.
Just to see those everybody who knew our names.
Sure. Yeah. I like to think of the tavern as the extended living room.
Yeah.
That's really how it functioned for most of its history. It was the way that you get out and meet your friends in a place that is kind of neutral territory.
Yeah. And we used to, some of us used to stop at that neighborhood bar before going home after work. And now we're maybe a little more concerned about not driving after having a few.
Sure, sure. In the 19th century, you might go before you went to work at lunchtime, break time,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Afternoon break, and after work. But I think that's stopping by a bar on the way home is a social phenomenon that goes back quite a long time. And
so, though, I'm thinking that there are still, and maybe it's a different thing, we still gather at the neighborhood bar or the sports bar that has that TV for that Packer game or for the Badgers game. I mean, they're packed.
Yeah, sure. The social function of bars has not died. It still exists, and you really see that in those kind of mass events. You could watch a Badgers game at home in your living room, but it's a lot more fun to go watch it with a room full of screaming people.
Right. So, but that's not enough to stop the decline of the neighborhood bar.
There's not a football game every day.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you have any favorite neighborhood bars that have closed?
Well, I think a very nostalgic one from my childhood was the Beehive Tavern in Oconto, Wisconsin. It was a block and a half from where I lived, and it was run by a guy named Ray Stutz, who was Polish, so my dad called him Ray Stutzkowski. And my dad and I used to walk down to the bar, and he'd have a couple beers, and I'd drink a soda and eat a candy bar and play Yellow Polka Dot Bikini on the jukebox. And, I have very fond memories of that. And really, my dad's friends, I got to know a lot of his friends just from sitting at the bar with my dad.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking about? When you think neighborhood tavern, you're thinking it is a city, and maybe it is. But I'm thinking in rural Wisconsin, there'd be a bar in the middle of nowhere, and that kind of was the neighborhood.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, neighborhood can be defined in many different ways. And in Wisconsin, neighborhood taverns were dotted through the countryside, and those are probably the ones that have had the most difficult time surviving because of people's concerns about drunk driving.
And why in your book Bottoms Up, A Toast to Wisconsin's Historic Bars and Breweries, there certainly are still quite a few historic bars and breweries, aren't there?
Sure.
So what's the difference? Why are they staying alive and others are closing?
Well, I think partly the ones that survive invest in their customers. You know, they keep their buildings up. They listen to what their customers like, and they change and adapt themselves based on the changing tastes of their customers. They're located in a good place, you know, where they get better traffic. Sometimes it's just based on the personality of the owners too. You know, the owners have an awful lot to do with the success of the tavern.
Right, you have to be a place where everybody wants to go.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
We have some callers, so let's go to Eugene and Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, good morning, Joy, and your guest. Viola had two 18-year-old taverns when I was growing up here when I was a child. And Richland Center and Baroque were both dry. So you'd have 18-year-old taverns Saturday night dance, and you'd have 200 or 300 young people running all over town. But also the corner tavern down here, the farmers would bring their feed truck, would bring their truck to town, take it up to the feed mill, mm-hmm. leave their truck up there with the keys in it, and then go down to the tavern and play dominoes or play euchre. And like you said, your guest said, you met all the young people that you knew, and the older people too in the local tavern. And we had a Ford garage here, and at break time, some of the employees from the bar, from the garage would go down and have a beer or two.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break or take it during their lunch hour, then go back to work. And nobody thought anything of young people going to the tavern at that point in time and space.
And those bars are still there, Eugene, or not?
They're both still there, but it's a different clientele. One has turned into kind of a biker's bar, mm-hmm. the corner tavern. That's changed hands. And the other one, they serve food now, because at that time there were three restaurants. There were two running restaurants. My mother ran one of them. There were two restaurants that made a decent living here in the village. But those restaurants are gone, and there wasn't any food served in the taverns. I don't know whether that was part of the situation when they... It was all 3-2 beer when they brought the taverns back after Prohibition. But they didn't serve food in taverns. There was also one at a little village called Valley up here. Had a tavern. That's gone. But the one up at Rockton above Lafarge, That's just an unincorporated village. That was still operating.
Yeah, and so lots going on. Eugene says that certainly the bars are still there, but they're much different and the clientele has changed. Mm-hmm. That would be, I don't know, that'd be something that happens.
Sure, sure, you bet. His story made me think of another neighborhood tavern from my hometown. My dad owned a feed mill in Oconto, and right next door to the feed mill was a place called the Dog House that was owned by my uncle Oliver Carvu. And the farmers used to come with their feed trucks and walk over to the bar while their feed was being ground.
Oh,
and when
yeah.
it was bagged, they'd come back and help load their trucks. So, yeah, it was very much part of, kind of worked into the working life in a way that doesn't happen today.
We are talking with Jim Drager about the decline of the neighborhood bar, and we're welcoming your memories. We're welcoming your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about the decline of the neighborhood bar. More than 10,000 neighborhood bars have closed in the United States in the last 10 years as customers shift toward choosing places that offer specialty drinks, for instance, or the comforts of their own home. We are talking about this trend with a state historian, and we are welcoming your questions and your memories. Do you have memories of spending time at a neighborhood bar? Maybe your neighborhood bar is still there. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Jim Drager is our guest, architectural historian and deputy state historic preservation officer with the Wisconsin Historical Society and co-author of Bottoms Up, A Toast to Wisconsin's Historic Bars and Breweries. Richard on Facebook says, as a 20-year bar troll, I'll tell you, they are holes that suck in vulnerable people and extract their money with alcohol and gambling. I don't consider returning to them. If I want booze, it won't be in a bar. So there's a dark aspect, I guess, to bars. Obviously, Richard is down on bars, saying they promote alcoholism. is that part of the reason for the decline?
I'm not sure that's part of the decline itself, but certainly that's always been a part of taverns. There's kind of this knife-edge balance between the freedom for people to do what they want, you know, what the Germans called Gemütlichkeit, or the good life, and the societal responsibility to take care of people who have alcohol issues. And that's what tavern regulation has always been about from the very beginnings of the times, to try to control taverns. And it has been an issue for a long time, and it will continue to be an issue, and I'm not sure there's a comfortable resolution to that problem.
How did the neighborhood bar, how did the bars in Wisconsin, for example, survive Prohibition?
They stayed bars is probably
continued to serve alcohol.
Yes, many of them continued to be operate as speakeasies, and you know, some of a small fraction of them became restaurants or ice cream parlors or things like that. But I think the large majority of them continued just to work in the illicit trade of the business, and many of them went out of business. They just shuttered their doors and closed up.
And some of them started fish fries.
Sure.
they did, right?
Yeah. The fish fry phenomenon was expanded during Prohibition just because they needed a hook to trying to draw customers in. And, you know, at that time, Wisconsin had plentiful perch fishing off of the off of the shore, eastern shore of Wisconsin, and so the fish fry became kind of a staple. It was very, very inexpensive, so they could serve it very cheaply and draw people in the bar.
This article that prompted our discussion on the decline of the neighborhood bar mentioned that the decline of taverns in part is because people are more interested today in places that also serve food, which is not common in neighborhood bars across the country, apparently, according to this article. And I was surprised because in Wisconsin, your neighborhood bar is going to have probably the best burger in town.
Sure. Yeah, in Wisconsin, food is certainly a big part of the bar experience. A kind of interesting historical artifact is that it was the temperance movement that really encouraged taverns to serve food in the late 19th century because they felt that people would drink less if their stomachs were filled with food. So they actually promoted the free lunch at lunchtime and evening dinners at taverns.
We are talking with Jim Drager. He is the co-author of Bottoms Up, A Toast to Wisconsin's Historic Bars and Breweries, and we are talking to him about a trend. The more and more neighborhood bars are closing up. More than 10,000 neighborhood bars have closed in the U.S. in the past 10 years, and we are asking, why is that? Why do you think it is? And has it affected you and your neighborhood? Has your neighborhood bar shut down, or does it? Is it still open, and do you still frequent it? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Nick in Antioch is with us. Hi, Nick.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question for the author regarding, with the advent of laws that prohibit smoking in bars, if that played a role. I know for me, it did when I did smoke. In fact, it probably contributed to me quitting smoking. With smoking being such a naturally social habit, especially when drinking, that was a real buzz killer for me as far as going to the bars. Did that play any role?
People have studied this phenomenon and have determined that it doesn't have a real impact on taverns, because for every person who doesn't go to the tavern anymore because they can't smoke in it, another person is going to the tavern because it's smoke-free. So it has changed clientele. And certainly when the smoking ban first passed, there were some taverns that were kind of hanging on by the skin of their teeth who just couldn't survive that initial drop in traffic and went out of business. But I don't see it as being a significant factor in that change.
I'm wondering if, maybe the smoking ban coupled with tougher drunk driving laws, we now have people who maybe stop at the tavern to grab that burger and then leave. They're not sitting there, you know, all night long, pounding them down.
Yeah, certainly the higher enforcement of drunk driving has had an impact on changing people's attitudes about how much time they spend in bars and how much they drink there.
So while more people might go, if they're not staying there and they're not spending money, that affects the bottom line.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. We have George on Facebook who says, I miss them, the neighborhood bar. It brought neighbors together. It's where you go if you need help with a project or need to find someone who can help or know someone who does. During times of storms, etc., a group from the neighborhood bar comes to the rescue. I don't see this much anymore as people are just too busy.
Yeah, that's certainly, that's always been a part of the tavern, is that social culture that surrounds the people who go there. You go there to get a tip on a job, to take up a collection for someone's funeral, as a fundraiser for various community activities. The Tavern League raises a lot of money in Wisconsin for charitable activities, and those fundraisers happen in and around taverns.
So, Jim, how has the craft beer movement affected neighborhood bars?
Well, I think it's certainly changing them. Craft beer is really catching on big in Wisconsin, and it's having an impact on what tavern owners have to do to survive. 10 years ago, if you traveled around to kind of more small town and rural taverns, it was a surprise to see a craft beer in bottle or tap in those bars. But now it's relatively commonplace. You can pretty much go into every bar and have that choice there. And it's drawing a different kind of demographic of people to taverns, because the people who are craft beer aficionados, part of that experience of drinking craft beer is drinking it in a bar, so you can drink that favorite beer or that beer that you've always wanted to try on tap rather than in a can or a bottle. So it brings a different kind of customer there. And for the bars that have been savvy with that trend, it's been a pretty lucrative change for them.
So many or more people prefer that Spotted Cow on tap than the Old Milwaukee in a can?
No, I don't think that more do, but it's certainly, there is certainly an avid crowd of people who covet craft beers. And our part of being a craft beer drinker is the adventure of different beers that you haven't had before. So we've seen the emergence of taverns that have 30, 50, 70 tap knobs with different kinds of craft beer on tap and a changing menu.
And we see the craft brew pub, too. I mean,
sure.
That might be your neighborhood bar.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Eric in Bellevue is with us. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Yes, what's your observation?
I agree a lot with actually George from Facebook, and that really with kind of the advent of the internet, the growth of smartphones, and people staying at home more, that the communication levels between generations, I think, has dropped a lot. Whereas older folks may be able to hold the conversation a tad better, especially with people they don't know. I've certainly noticed that the younger generation don't seem to have that same capability, especially older than the college age.
Yeah, you're observing that because kids are on their smartphones all the time, that they don't know how to communicate.
Either kids, but even you know, upper 20s, 30-year-old individuals, that it's just a trend and not necessarily a switch, but that the communication levels of the tavern, you know, local bars, especially those without TVs in them, there's an effect there that they have a much older crowd.
Yeah, I get what you're saying too. I mean, young people today are, you know, what are they going to go to the bar and just text each other? You know, they're not. Eric's making the observation that they're not there to socialize that way. They don't socialize that way anymore. Do you think that's true?
It probably is, but I think even more powerful than that is that bars have become segregated by various demographics. And it's not just something for the young. The bikers all go to the biker bar. The sports fans all go to the sports bar. The young people all go to the craft bar or to a club or something like that. And there's not as much age mixing as there once was.
Yeah, and when we say the craft bar, too, we were talking about craft beers. The craft cocktail thing is going, too.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and gastro pubs, too, you know, that serve more upscale food along with their drinks are very popular, too.
Jed on Facebook says, my parents went to a Bayview, Milwaukee staple called the At Random Club. The bar is still there, and Ronnie and Shirley have owned it for over 50 years.
Yeah.
It was the locals' gathering place after work, and the owners always referred to their customers by first name and talked to them like family.
Shirley wore a beehive hairdo up till the time that she sold that bar. It's been sold not too long ago. Really an interesting place. I described it as the bar in which Doris Day exploded, because it's got that kind of 1960s over the top kind of baroque interior, very ornate, really colorful, you know, Naugheide booths and streaming lights and all sorts of... it was a very, very interesting bar.
So Shirley and Ronnie don't own it anymore, but it's still
no,
there.
Yeah, it's still there.
Is it the same? Or do you know?
I haven't been in there since it was sold, so I can't say that for sure. Their specialty was ice cream drinks there.
Grasshoppers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Jed. Anybody have memories of a favorite neighborhood bar or one that is still there or maybe it did close? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Jason in Waukesha now. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. Great topic. You guys kind of touched on what I was going to say, which was there might be a decrease in the local tavern, but there has been a great increase in brew houses. Like, you know, in the past 10 years, there's way more brew houses in Wisconsin mm-hmm. than there was before, and I think a lot of it has to do with the change in taste, you know, the craft taste, the artisanal taste, and that was my comment. There's way more brew houses now. And there's less taverns.
Jim? Yeah, absolutely true. A new brewery opens in America every day. And in Wisconsin, the last time I bothered to try to count them, there were over 250 breweries and brew pubs in the state. So there's hardly a town now that you can't find a brewery nearby. And certainly that's created a whole new kind of tavern culture, or a new old kind of tavern culture, as it's really a throwback to the 19th century, where there were taverns in every little town in Wisconsin.
So this trend nationally is maybe not as evident in Wisconsin anyway.
Oh, no, it's certainly a big thing here, and it's tied in some way to the whole local foods movement. You know, people are much more interested in where their food comes from and eating locally produced food, and the beer has kind of followed on the shirt tails of this larger phenomenon.
Yes, I meant so now the neighborhood bar might be closing, but the brew pub is opening up.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to
sometimes in the same place.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. it's not. I mean, we still have establishments; they're just different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jim in Kewaunee is with us. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Joy, and to your guest. I was raised in a little town up north, and up there we had, I think, 13 taverns in a little town of 900.
Mm-hmm. And where was that, Jim?
That was in Wabino.
Okay, I know where that is.
My folks had a tavern 68 years.
Oh, what was it called?
Elmer's.
Mm-hmm.
Elmer's Bar.
And is it where it's not still there, or is it?
No, it's there, but it's closed down. We sold it, and it's closed down now. Somebody bought it, but they're not doing nothing with it. It's an old hotel, lumberjack hotel. And when I grew up, I had probably a dozen old grandpas from all over the world that were lumberjacks and everything you can imagine. And with my dad, I remember always complaining about so much. Was the sales tax hurt the little tavern?
Really? That really
was something. He didn't think the government really wanted people to get together, is what he thought.
Mm.
And because they found out too much going on. But another thing he talked about too was they used to get it from Huber and the brewer. They could buy a whole semi load of beer, and then they passed the law. I'm not sure. Remember what year it was. Where you have to buy from a local distributor, which knocked up the cost quite mm-hmm. a bit, and their profit went down mm-hmm. on it. So they would be able to buy a whole semi of beer and sell it for 50 cents a bottle, or actually it was 25 cents, I remember way back.
Jim, we have a newscast coming up. Remind me the name of your parents' tavern again.
Elmer's Bar in Wabino.
Thank you very much. And when we come back from news, Jim, we'll get your comments on, I guess, the complaints Jim heard his parents say about the sales tax and distribution issues.
Sure.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
that was a part
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Elmer's?
No, I've never been to Elmer's.
And we'll talk about more neighborhood bars then and now. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Jim Drager. He is the co-author of Bottoms Up, A Toast to Wisconsin Historic Bars and Breweries. This is the Ideas Network.
Friday night they used to spark. And now my love, who once was true to me, takes that dark...
Making your way.
We are talking about the decline of the neighborhood bar this hour. According to a recent news story, more than 10,000 neighborhood bars have closed in the United States in the last 10 years. We are talking about why and what's replacing them, if anything, and welcoming your questions and your memories. Did you used to frequent a neighborhood tavern? Has it shut down? Or do you still frequent a neighborhood tavern? Do you have a favorite local hangout? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. A caller who dropped was a bar owner. He said regulars are the most important part of his business. He's also been trying to do some different things to keep afloat and to adapt, like bringing in guest bartenders and raising money for charity with mm-hmm. a percentage still a little bit going to the bar. Well, Jim Drager, how about that? So a bar that is trying to stay afloat by doing some, I don't know, good for the community and some gimmicks to bring in the regulars.
Mm-hmm. My dad used to say, move or die. And, you know, you've got to change if you want to continue to be viable. So I think owning a tavern is a very entrepreneurial business, and you need to pay attention to your regulars, and you need to be innovative and be willing to change with changing times if you're going to survive.
Yeah, so... should we be taking steps to save neighborhood bars, or are the bars doing what they can or need some help to adapt?
Yeah, well, I really believe that we should save neighborhood bars just because it helps combat the issues of drunk driving. If there's a bar within walking distance of where you live, it's a much better world that we live in. And to me, one of the most catastrophic changes that happened to taverns was the introduction of single-use zoning after World War II and basically banning the bar from the suburb neighborhood and making it live on an arterial strip where people had to drive to get to it. I think the government has some culpability in this issue of drunk driving because their very policies have created a much more of an urge to drive and drink.
Interesting. Well, aren't though the neighbors a little bit leery about having, I don't know, a bar with music and
sure.
and rowdiness going
mm-hmm.
on around them?
Yeah, that's another factor that has hurt neighborhood taverns is the complaints of neighbors. You know, when there's music, especially if there's live music and there's a lot of noise there, those are legitimate complaints, but. But banishing them to somewhere we have to drive to get to them, I don't think has been good policy.
So do you think that this trend will continue indefinitely?
Sure. Yeah. The trend of...
Of the decline of the neighborhood tavern.
No, I don't think it necessarily will. Change is constant. And one of the things I see changing is that bars are becoming a lot more destinations. One of the callers noted one of the bars has turned into a biker bar in his neighborhood. And, you know, that's a phenomenon where people are seeing bars more as destinations and they're traveling farther to get to them because that's they're there for the experience. Rather than just the meeting their neighbors.
Okay, two more phone calls now. Jim Drager is our guest, by the way. He is an architectural historian, and I'm going to give you a promotion live on the air. I've been saying Deputy State Historic Preservation Officer. You are now the State Historic Preservation Officer. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Co-author of Bottoms Up, A Toast to Wisconsin's Historic Bars and Breweries. And our next caller is Casey in Wauwatosa. Hi, Casey.
Hello. I grew up in that era in the 70s and 80s where taverns were pretty popular. Two variables I noticed have very significantly shifted. One is the blue-collar crowd is gone, so to say, and they don't really have the disposable income that they used to go into bars. And then the other thing is I noticed, you know, we had a lot of feminism in the 80s, and women started coming to the bar a lot more. And I noticed that, you know, bars took a shift with their environment and who they were trying to attract, especially out in the suburbs. You had bars that were more geared for men, and they were more geared for, you know, kind of dirtier, and they were, you know, you had people that just got off work and they were having a beer, but then it shifted more into, you know, the husband and wife were going out as a couple and then going to a bar, so then they were looking for a different kind of environment. And I noticed that was a major shift, and that hurt the local taverns a lot.
What did you, Jim, is there some truth to that?
Sure. That shift really began to happen after Prohibition. Women didn't go in 19th century taverns. If you were standing at a bar and you're a woman in the 19th century, you're a prostitute.
Right.
So after speakeasies where there weren't any laws or restrictions, women started going to taverns, and then they followed men into legal taverns after Prohibition, and the whole cocktail culture was really meant to draw women and couples to taverns. So that shift started a lot earlier, but I agree with the caller that accelerated in the 1970s is probably an outgrowth of feminism.
And what about the blue-collar crowd is gone, or they can't afford to
hit
the bar?
Sure. As the working class and middle class is being squeezed in this country, you have less disposable income, and you know, that's one of these easy places where you can cut back on your spending. So that it seems perfectly logical.
Thank you, Casey. Heather in Somerset is with us now. Hi, Heather.
Good morning. I just wanted to call and let you guys know about a little bar in a little teeny town in northern Wisconsin. The town is Ingram, population 73, and the bar is called Antlers, and Antlers Tavern. And Stacy, the owner of the bar, makes the best fuck, sauerkraut, and onion pizza in the world. Excellent food. But, you know, they have specials during the week, and it's a place where people bring their children for dinner in the early evening hours, and then, you know, you have all sorts of local color there, everything from World War II veterans coming in to play cards to young families coming in to have dinner. And it really is a little teeny tiny, just, it is a local tavern, and it's wonderful. It's a great place to go.
Heather, thank you. Where is Ingram?
Ingram is about 16 miles east of Ladysmith.
I know I know the area then. Okay. Well, wonderful.
It's east of Glen Flora. Yeah, it's a wonderful little tavern. I think people should go and have some of their burgers and have some of their sausage sauerkraut pizzas.
Sauerkraut and onion and sausage pizza is very good. Well, you taking notes there because you might do a sequel to Bottoms Up, Jim?
I did take notes.
No, and you're serious. You may be doing a sequel.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That reminded me. My dad used to be a bartender in northern Wisconsin before I was around, and after I was born and he had, you know, had the family, we'd go visit some of his old places every once in a while. And even then, I would have an orange soda as Wisconsin, we did that. You brought your kids to the bar.
Yeah.
And it was more of a family affair. It's not so much anymore, is it?
No, I think taverns are certainly family places yet today. When I traveled around doing the research on Bottoms Up and trying to locate these 55 special taverns that we include in the book. I went in a lot of taverns that had young kids in them. I remember one particular in Jefferson where the son was sitting on the bar stool next to his dad, and they were playing dice. And, you know, so I think that's, in Wisconsin, that's always been a part of the culture here. In other states, and many of them, children are banned from the taverns. They're not allowed in, even if the tavern serves food.
Yeah, interesting. So, you know, we talked about the neighborhood bar, maybe more so in terms of a city or a more urban area. Is this a rural small town bar that, like the one in Ingram, likely to last for a while?
I think yes. The answer is the neighborhood bar isn't collapsing. They are closing, but that phenomenon continues to exist because it serves a purpose in our culture. People want to be able to go to places like that and commune with their friends and neighbors, and as long as that social urge exists, the neighborhood tavern will exist too.
Go to, I'm sorry, Nalene in Mondovi?
Yes, Nalene.
Nalene, go ahead.
Yes, my ex-husband and I purchased the White Pig Tavern in Mondovi. It had been a one-owner establishment since early 1960s, and when we purchased, I had a hard time comprehending holidays people would want to be at the bar, and in talking to people and realizing they have no other place to go, they have no family, they have their families that are not in the area or have other holiday celebrations, and it just that's a social place for them to be, so they're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very nice. And is it still called the White Pig, did you say?
Yes, we were the second owners to purchase it. The original owners were Blanche and Homer Polkerbeck, and Blanche used to wear the beehive hairdo also up until the time they sold it.
Nice.
And the White Pig, when we purchased it, didn't know the meaning behind the name. And being in the 60s, it was named the White Pig. Two brothers started it originally, Homer and his brother, and the meaning behind the name was, we're white enough to want your business, and or pigs enough to want your business, and white enough, I'm saying it wrong, white enough to appreciate it is what it was.
Oh, so. Well, all right. thanks very much for the call. We have, you know, we have less than a minute to go. Maybe just, we have Nicholas on Facebook who says, I can think of 8 bars within walking distance of my home. And then another listener adds, there are about 43 neighborhood bars in River West in Milwaukee. So 30 seconds, I guess, where do you see the trend going or the bar culture going in Wisconsin?
Well, I think bar culture will continue to live on as long as people have an urge to socialize with each other in a public place. That's one of the public venues where people can get together, and so there will continue to be those kind of bars.
Thanks for being here. Jim Drager, architectural historian and state historic preservation officer at the Wisconsin Historical Society, co-author of Bottoms Up, A Toast to Wisconsin's Historic Bars and Breweries. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Chris Molina for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening and joining in. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You wanna-